To teach from Jude again, but I saw that the passage for Mother's Day would have involved the prophecy of Enoch when he said, God is going to punish all the ungodly people for all the ungodly things that they've done in an ungodly way. They're going to be punished for all their ungodliness, which they had committed in a very ungodly manner. And so I thought that might fit for a teenager when they come in real late at night, but actually it probably wouldn't be a great fit for Mother's Day. So wanting to actually speak to ladies and to men on these days that our culture seems to give us each and every year. It's a great opportunity to speak on issues to men and to women. And of course, this Sunday being Mother's Day, I wanted to take a look at the gift and the joy of femininity. Okay, and I'm going to start in Genesis 1. 26 and 27, and we're going to kind of go all over the place from there. So just bear with me, and we'll walk through the scriptures together. It says in Genesis 1, 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, this year on Mother's and Father's Day, we're going to take a look at the gift that God has given us in moms and dads. We will look at how God made the world and blessed us as male and female. The passage we began with states that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God made the world with a gender binary. It was his doing. He said it was good, and actually, it's fundamental to knowing his blessing in this life. With male and female, God also gave us masculinity and femininity. These are also gifts to us, and living according to biblical masculinity and femininity, even though horrifically damaged by the fall into sin, yet that is how we actually can know joy in our lives. God has revealed through his word what godly biblical masculinity and femininity are. And so in keeping with this, we will take a look at the gift and the joy of biblical femininity today. And then on Father's Day, we will take a look at the gift and joy of biblical masculinity. So we enter into this just asking ourselves this first question, what is femininity? Well, femininity, in its easiest way to say it, is what makes a woman a woman. But in today's world, we have multiple versions of what femininity is. Voices speaking from our culture ring out from television and movies, from universities and women's studies programs, from magazines and books, each having their own take on femininity, saying everything from what is saying everything from what is true to some saying that it is actually just a false construct based on a false narrative supporting the gender binary. Now, the thing is, God weighs in on femininity, and he does so with ultimate authority because he is God. Why is it so important then to define femininity? Well, primarily it's important so that we might understand what our purpose is as God's people in general and for the ladies as his daughters in specific. God created gender, and we need to grasp our purpose and roles within God's design. God didn't create gender as a punishment, but as a blessing. Those of us who understand his purpose and plan for it will help us understand his love for us in creating us female and male. Many in today's culture view femininity as being personality driven, as though being some kind of a shopaholic, flirt, disinterested in sports, preoccupied with high heels, makeup, loving interior design, and baking is what determines a woman's femininity. Scripture, however, does not define femininity in the scope of a woman's personality, interests, hobbies, or even what colors she may prefer. There is a vast spectrum of personalities in the world, and none of them by themselves define femininity Because God is the one who created woman as women as they are biologically and spiritually. Therefore, God is the one who gives us the definition of this and what will actually bring us to the greatest point of joy. God has called women to be feminine and for men to be masculine. He then defined this throughout Scripture in pictures, both positive and negative, in instruction as well as example. Now, what we will engage in today, but in no means is exhaustive, but it is hopefully a framework and it is instructive on the major aspects of femininity that are a part of God's call upon women to be feminine because he has created them female. Also, just for a reminder, I will attempt to do this with the prerequisite understanding that God has revealed to us his person and his will through the scriptures, which are both inerrant and authoritative in all they say. So that's where I'm coming from. If you radically disagree with this, just understand the framework from which I'm coming, and that's why I'm bringing what I'm bringing today. Now, let's take a look at five aspects of femininity. Number one, femininity, that's going to be hard to say over and over again, has a wonderful relational capacity. In Genesis 2, verses 18 through 25, we read, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him.' And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the sky, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the sky, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed.'" Now, one of the things that God has given to women in making them female and in granting them the blessing and his call to femininity is a marvelous ability, a wonderful ability and capacity for relationships. Women were created for the purpose of enhancing and bettering those relationships. This is first seen in the husband-wife relationship, but later we will see it with the children and ultimately even the community as well as women embrace femininity. Women want to connect with others. On average, and this is actually known, women use more words in a day than men. In fact, it is amazing how much men are dwarfed in this area. But that is because women value connecting, talking. They value talking about every situation and the feeling associated with it. Women want to feel one of the things they desire a great deal is they want to feel that they are heard and that they are understood. That is why it's not wise, guys, for us to interrupt our wives or girlfriends as they're expressing themselves to us and sharing their feelings and everything else so that we can help them by saying, "Well, this is what you should do," or, "Hey, if you'll just do this, it'll fix it." They're really not interested in us fixing it. They want us to listen, and they want us to understand. And they want us actually, in our own stunted capacities, to seek to emote with them about what it is that they're experiencing. When men tend to use language, not so much in a relational connecting as much as in a solution finding, even if it doesn't actually fix what the real problem is, because we didn't listen long enough to know what the real problem was. When the curse comes after the fall into sin, it is interesting that the consequences tend to affect the relationships with the woman, while the man faces consequences based on work and environment in which he's going to be functioning after that. Just recently, my children were relating what they treasured most about their mom, my wife Sherry. And what was fascinating was every single one of them spoke to how Sherry would sit and listen to them. She would wait up at night. She would sit down with them after they came in. She would listen. She would listen long. She would ask questions. She would have each of them leave the, each of them would leave that experience knowing that someone had truly listened to them and heard them, even when they knew she didn't agree with what they were saying or what they were doing. Yet they knew that their mom had heard them, that she had listened to them, and that someone knew what was going on in their lives. Now, that just goes back to that whole idea that femininity has a wonderful relational capacity. Secondly, femininity has a wonderful nurturing capacity. Isaiah, and these are some interesting passages. Isaiah 49, and it's the way, by the way, God chose to reveal himself. And in Isaiah 49, 15 and 16, it says this: "Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands, and your walls are continually before me." Isaiah 66, 11 and 12, God reveals himself in this way: "For thus says the Lord, behold, I extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of nations like an overflowing flowing stream. And you will be nursed, you will be carried on the hip and fondled on the knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem." And then we read in 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 6 through 8, the following. It says, "Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority. But we proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become so very dear to us." Now, what's fascinating here is God made women to be nurturers by nature. Their very bodily aspects, their biology, are those which breed and nurture life. God has given to them a womb, God has given to them breasts, and those are given to bear children and to feed children. Women are hardwired by God to be nurturing creatures, whether or not God chooses to use them to produce offspring. A woman is no less feminine if she can't have children. She will still have that aspect of wanting to be a nurturer. Note how God uses women to express his own nurturing character. That is because they reflect the heart and the character of God in a way that men cannot, because men can't be mothers. Okay? We watch the Proverbs 31 woman create a home where her husband and her children are nurtured, and they praise her for doing this. And even if a woman doesn't have a husband or children, there is just a care, affection, love, and honestly, a softness that expresses love in a way that men are just not wired to give on a consistent basis. It is not that men can't be this way, but it is that God has designed women to do this, and families flourish when they fulfill God's role in this way. Third thing, femininity has a wonderful vulnerability to it. Deanne Davis said this about this element of femininity. Quote, "Another element of femininity is vulnerability. As women, we have an incredible ability to be soft, sensitive, and vulnerable, coupled with the emotional fortitude to overcome the assaults against that vulnerability that we will inevitably face." 1 Peter 3:7 exhorts men to love their wives in, quote, "an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered." Now, women are not weak and unable to take care of themselves. That's not what Peter is saying here. But what he is saying is that they are more delicate, and as such, men should be more understanding toward them, as well as willing to show the women in their lives honor and a sense of inclusion in the work of the gospel and in the work of what they are doing. We lose something important when women say that they don't need a man and that they can get along without a man. That exists, unfortunately, due to the fall, with women wanting to rule over men in Genesis chapter 3, and men basically being pigs and treating women horrifically down through the ages, dominating and crushing their spirits all throughout history. The whole idea of women as the gentler sex and as deserving of men to act more genteel around them is absolutely necessary to our culture and to the world. Losing this is hurting our families. It's hurting our towns and our cities and ultimately the world itself. The way Jesus cares for his mother Mary at the cross is a beautiful thing. And the way that a husband ought to care for his wife, his brothers and brothers for sisters and men for women in general is a good thing. And it is something that should be spoken well of in our culture, not belittled. When we lose this, and when women react in hurt and pain for the ways for the ways that they're treated and the ways that they're not loved in the way that they should be loved biblically, and then they decide they're going to take on masculinity as a response against foolish men, even in an effort to protect themselves. Let me say this, everyone loses. We wind up with a very gruff, we wind up with a very rough culture. Women were supposed to bring into this world that sense of the genteel, that sense of this is the sex that tells us that we need to be gentler, we need to be kinder. And when it's gone, I mean, let me say this. When I grew up, my mom, I don't remember hearing my mom say foul language. And I remember that I was actually told by my mom and my dad that if I was around a woman who used foul language, I should really be careful of that woman because she's not manifesting, you know, they probably didn't say manifesting a biblical, you know, femininity, but it was just not considered gentle or genteel for that to be the case. And now it's gone. In so many ways, it's gone. And as a result, we have this gruff, rough culture, and it's getting more coarse and honestly uncultured, it seems, every year, with it just turning worse and worse and worse. And I believe part of that is just men saying, men, you should be men that are gentlemen. And then to say to women, listen, your goal in life is not to become a man. You're a woman, and it's a glorious thing that you're a woman. And it's a glorious thing that you're made in the way that God made you. And it is a glorious thing to embrace the femininity that I believe is God's will for you to embrace and to move forward in. We will lose so much, ladies, if you don't own that and take it and run with it. And there is no way that a man can make up for it. There's no way that he can bring to our culture what only you ladies can bring. You know, and I think this is fourth, but femininity also has a wonderful beauty to it. 1 Peter 3:3-5 says this, your adornment must not merely be external, braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and if you become her children, if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. And then we read in Proverbs 31:30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The next element of biblical femininity, honestly, is a desire to show forth beauty. And it's not just outward beauty, though. God speaks of beauty, emphasizing the inward beauty far more than the externals. There is a weight in the word beautiful that speaks to the inward quality that exists in a woman who loves the Lord and a woman who has just embraced her femininity. And it is far beyond anything she could ever achieve in any kind of physical outward beauty. There is the scriptures speak of a woman having the imperishable quality of beauty that is rooted in a quiet and gentle spirit. It doesn't require a woman to be like a mousy personality. She never talks or anything. It just means she has a quietness, a gentleness to her. She doesn't have to force her way into things. She doesn't have to force that things are done. She understands how to influence people in ways that she doesn't wind up wanting to just turn herself into a guy. Two ditches exist on this particular front. 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10 instructs against women in one ditch that says, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly, discreetly, not with braided hair, gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works as is proper for a woman making a claim to godliness. Listen, when it's just all about the outside, when it's just all about, I'm just going to dress it up as much as I can dress it up on the outside, I'm going to accentuate physical beauty. And let me say this, it's also accentuating figure. I think it's a mistake. I'm crazy enough and I'm just old enough and old fashioned enough. And I don't know if I'm saying that. I want to be biblical enough to say that a woman's figure is for her husband, not for culture, not for society. It was meant to be for her husband. And if a woman's just simply going to dress to accentuate her figure at all times, she's going to have a tendency to draw the wrong kind of attention. Now, I'm not saying that men, and let me just say this, when men whistle at women and they make the comments and they make statements like that, they're being pigs, okay? I am not excusing men for their actions, but I will say this, if a woman would adorn herself with that inward quality and not so much focus on the outward, they might find that their beauty is manifest in such a way that, and I'm not going to say they won't ever experience that because, honestly, in a lot of ways, men are pigs, okay? And they're going to do it anyway. But ladies, it's just not good to accentuate aspects that are just meant to try to stimulate a man in a way that you can't fulfill unless you're married. And so, anyway, I'm going to leave that as quickly as possible. Okay. See 10-foot pole marks all over it. It says, but the other side of the ditch is this. Paul does say to Timothy, don't let it just simply be the inward, but it says by means of good works that is proper for women making a claim to godliness. But there's another side of this ditch, is those thinking that any outward beauty is unnecessary whatsoever, or even it's ungodly. That's not the case. Paul is not advocating women be as unattractive as you possibly can be. That's not what he's saying. The Proverbs, we need to remember in Scripture, Sarah, Rachel, Esther, Rebecca were all described as beautiful women. This is not mentioned as a mark against them, but as a description of them, and it is a positive thing on their behalf. The Proverbs 31 woman is one who girds herself with strength. Strength makes her arms strong, but it also says that she dresses nicely. Verse 22 says she makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple, and that was very nice clothing. Peter says not to adorn yourself outwardly, but to be careful that that's not the only thing you do, but even and doing it at the expense of biblical godliness and character. Anyone who has ever read Psalm 45, 10 through 14, and the description of God saying the daughter who's being given to her husband on that day, knows that outward beauty is something the Scriptures say is a good thing. It says, listen, O daughter, give attention and incline your ear. Forget your people and your father's house. Then the king will desire your beauty. Because he is your Lord, bow down to him. The daughter of Tyre will come with a gift. The rich among the people seek your favor. And then it says, and I love this, the king's daughter is all glorious within. And it emphasizes that inward beauty. But then it says, her clothing is interwoven with gold, and she will be led to the king with embroidered work. So you have, she's all beautiful within, but honestly, she's not that bad to look at on the outside either. And she's a beautiful lady, and she's being brought to that point where she's being given in marriage. By the way, also, if you've ever seen the picture of the bride, the lamb in Revelation, there is beauty. But note, inward as well as an outward beauty. Well, finally, we see the last aspect of what I'll do today. And again, this is a framework. This is not exhaustive. But femininity has a beautiful responsiveness that God wants to bless the world with. When woman was first created, she was created by God as a helper for the male. Now, Adam was still given authority over creation and their relationship. And we see throughout the Old and New Testament church the idea of male headship and authority in those groups. We see in Titus 2:5, Ephesians 5:21 through 33, that women are to submit to their husbands in a relationship of their submission to the Lord. But Scripture does not teach that we should be subservient, that women should be subservient or to be considered as less than men. It teaches that within God's original design, that they are to be responsive to the male headship he places over us, beginning with fathers, extending to spouses, and beyond that, even into the godly male headship governing the church. But it does not in any way suggest that women are incompetent as leaders. It is simply the roles that God is stating in his word. Also, by the way, it does not say to be responsive to evil or wicked leadership. If as a woman you have a husband who's being just flat out ungodly, asking you to do unscriptural and biblical things, that is not something that you are called to obey and just do. There is a point at which you find your submission to God and then your submission to your husband and to leadership. But as far as ungodly leadership, unholy leadership, leadership that disregards the commands of Scripture, absolutely not. Also, by the way, you take a look at the example of Abigail and David. I mean, her husband, David, comes to her husband and he's been protecting the sheep for months and says, hey, if you have anything at your sheep shearing, which, by the way, that was an event that was kind of like a giant party for everybody. And when people would come up, especially those who had helped protect sheep in the wilderness, you would usually invite them to the party and give them a blessing out of what you were doing during your sheep shearing. Well, that's not what her husband did. Abigail's husband just kind of brushed David aside, and David was furious. And so Abigail went and made right what her husband had done wrong, because David was about to wipe out his entire family. And Abigail did a wise thing by coming to him and dealing with that. And her wisdom in how she spoke to him about doing it was just overwhelming, to the point to where when her husband eventually died, David sought her out as a wife. The relationships in a marriage and in family stress complementarity. That's just a really long word. They are meant to complement each other. Okay, I should have just wrote that instead. But it basically, the world sees this as male chauvinism. But according to the scriptures, it's actually God's roles and God's purposes at work. And we're to submit ourselves to those roles and those purposes. Now, let me say this. Men need someone to help us be softer, tender, more delicate, and understand that we just can't run roughshod over the whole world. We need the reminder, because there's a world full of men. A world that's just a world full of men would be a terrible place. Men desperately need to have to pursue, woo, and love and treasure a woman in the right way. Men desperately need to be godly servant leader protectors who treasure their wives and do all we can to protect them. 1 Corinthians 11:7 explains that the woman is the glory of the man. This is not meant to be demeaning, but it is to remind us that in winning and loving a woman and well and in a godly way, man lives to the glory of God, and that woman is the glory of that man, not because he wears her like some ornament, but her happiness and her joy in that relationship is a glory to him, living according to how God desires him to live. Culture currently tells women that to be a helper, God's original intent and name for what he was going to give to Adam, is somehow to be pathetic, weak, and worthless. Well, that's funny, because that's not God's opinion on the matter. Because when we look in the scripture, who is the Holy Spirit referred to? He's referred to as the helper. So if women, by being a helper, are being pathetic, weak, and worthless, is the Holy Spirit considered pathetic, weak, and worthless because he's called the helper? God calls himself the helper in the Psalms. Basically, are we saying that God is pathetic, worthless, and weak when he takes on that role in the Psalms? In our society, the biblical definition and submission, and submission to what it means to be a family is in incredibly steep decline. I don't think I'm really shocking anybody with that statement. That is in part because biblical roles of masculinity and femininity are in deep decline as well. Listen, and I'm just going to kind of close with this statement. It is a glorious thing that God has given us in making us male and female, in calling men to masculinity and calling women to femininity. we will continue to watch a steep decline in families and in relationships until we have the courage to stand again and state what biblical masculinity is, what biblical femininity is, and not just state it. Because it's one thing to just kind of be that gruff, angry guy that's like, grass, and he's just complaining about all of it. But listen, we don't need to just state it. And honestly, we shouldn't state it with the grumpy grouch kind of thing. We should state it simply as this is what God teaches. But more importantly, we need to live it. Live it in regard to our wives, guys. Ladies, live it in regard to your husband. Live it in regard to your family and your children. And you know what? If God hasn't given you those things, then embrace femininity in the ways that it blesses within a culture. You know, if you're someone who has adopted children, that's one of the most incredible things on the planet to me. If someone who says, I'll take these children, I'll raise them, and they are my own from this point forward. But listen, it is not a bad thing to be feminine. It's not a bad thing to be masculine. God created a gender binary. He gave that to us, and actually he said it is good after he did it. And so God then also calls us to what we understand as a biblical masculinity and a biblical femininity. And they're meant to be complementary to one another, not in competition with each other. And so my prayer is that, ladies, I pray that today you felt affirmed today. Because you have something, and you are something that only you can be. There's not a guy on the planet that can fill that role. There's not a guy on the planet that can actually do femininity in a way that's going to honor God. We need to be masculine, and we need to be men. And ladies, we are so grateful that God has given you to us. And believe me, I know I got 6 kids that think their mom hung the moon. They think their mom's best thing ever, way past sliced bread, okay? And so, and it's a wonderful thing. And I've watched her function. I've watched her live her life. I've watched her in the way that she loves her kids. I've watched her in the way that she's loved me. And I'm going to say this. She's done nobly. She excels. You know, she's a woman who ought to be praised because of the way that she's chosen to live and the way that she's chosen to give herself for her kids and her husband. You know what? There's a lot of ladies that are doing that. So those of you ladies who are out there that seek to live this way, I also have a word for you. Awesome. Y'all are just awesome. The culture is not going to do anything to try to encourage you in these things. So the fact that you're responding to God and you're living out your life in a way that honors God and that embraces his purpose and his call upon your lives, ladies, just incredibly awesome. And we love you for it. Let's pray together and we'll be dismissed. And then those of you who are part of Calvary, if you'll just hang around a little bit longer, we'll try to do the virtual walkthrough, give you an idea of what it's going to look like next Sunday. Father, thank you for the ladies in our lives. Thank you especially for moms. God, it's just awesome to see ladies just, I don't know, give themselves. It's amazing to watch them lay down their lives over an entire lifetime. And God, I pray that you'll just bless them and that they'll continue to just function in this role and function in this way. And, you know, Lord, I pray for any woman that's listening to this today and she's not been able to have children. And Lord, I pray that you will affirm her in her in her being a woman and in her femininity, that's not dependent on having a child, or the lady that's single, or a woman that's been in a really bad marriage and has resulted in a divorce because of a man who has acted in a very ungodly manner. Lord, I pray that you will affirm these ladies as well. And Lord, I pray that you will continue to teach us and to engage us and to help us, Father, to love you, to embrace the purposes and the plans that you have for us. And God, I know we won't get a lot of help from the culture, but that's okay. Lord, we have your word. We have what we believe you are telling us to do and how to live. And Lord, we want to live that way, not for us, but for your glory and your honor and your praise. So, Lord, please build up, encourage these ladies. Lord, may they be spoiled rotten today by their families. May we do everything we can to let them know how much we appreciate them, Lord. We're just so thankful that you've given them to us. Lord, many of us, I know myself included, Lord, don't have our moms with us anymore, and we're just so grateful for them. Lord, I do pray especially for anyone who's lost their mom in recent weeks, because that just means this year is going to be a really rough year. So, Lord, just may you fill them in the midst of the grief and the difficulty in not having a mom this year. Lord, flood them with memories of the ways they were blessed because of their mom. And, Lord, I just pray that you'll do all this, and you'll comfort them and walk them through it. Lord, we love you. Bless us now, Lord, as we go this coming week. Give us grace, Father, to live for you and to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, listen, God bless you. I'm going to do one thing, and that is turn off the...